T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mully and Hall, live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Chant of Go Pack Go as Rodgers up to the line of scrimmage for what should be the final snap of the game. He drops to a knee, and that will do it. For the fourth time in the last 7 seasons, the Packers punch their ticket to the NFC title game. Packers 32, Rams 18.
Pete, I'm just so happy for our guys. Definitely a little emotional. Just thinking about what we've been through. Got me emotional with the crowd out there today. I'm just still really happy about everything that happened tonight. We'll have plenty of time to talk about next week's opponent after tomorrow and into Tuesday and Wednesday. And I look forward to our conversation when that time comes.
Third down and 3. Brady goes under center, takes the snap, handoff to Fournette, straight ahead, and he stumbles forward. He's got the first down, down to the 25-yard line, and that'll do it. Leonard Fournette picks up the first down, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on their way to the NFC title game.
Well, the story of this football game is that now you're going to play in your 14th conference championship game. I know you've joked around that your blood is really thinned out since being in Tampa. It's going to be in the 20s as you get set to take on Green Bay. What does that mean to you?
Well, it's great. I mean, it's great for our team, and we worked hard to get to this point. Yeah. 2 road playoff wins is pretty sweet, and we got to go beat a great football team, one we know pretty well. And Aaron's playing incredible, and we're gonna have to play great to beat them.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our thanks to WTMJ in Milwaukee. You heard the game there, and you heard Aaron Rodgers, Westwood One, and of course Fox. And it is going to be cold in Green Bay, and Tom has been saying that his blood is thinned out since he's been in Florida, which is kind of funny. But, you know, the idea of Tampa going into Green Bay for a conference championship game, the idea of 2 future Hall of Fame quarterbacks, I don't think there's anybody that's going to question that. And of course, the winner of that game faces the winner of the AFC Championship, which will feature, if Mahomes is able to play, again, left the game with a concussion, we're expecting he will, but a couple of really good young quarterbacks on one game and a couple of really good old quarterbacks in the other game.
Youth versus experience, absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. 26 and snowy, I think, Sunday in Green Bay is the weather forecast as of today. Not worried about Tom Brady adjusting back to that kind of winter climate because he spent all that time in New England. Goodness sakes, we have seen here in Chicago Tom Brady excel in the snow. I don't think anybody is worried about that. Maybe some teammates are going to be in for it, but you're an NFL player. That's not going to be a factor, I really think. The Packers just seem to be playing at a different level, Mully. I think if you're seeding the final 4 in the NFL, they would be the number 1 overall seed because of the way they're playing. And offensively, they don't seem to have a weakness at the moment. Now, their offensive line is compromised without Bakhtiari. He has been missing, and they have been, you know, still scoring points and moving the football. And, you know, it was cool. I felt like it was cool. Here, a reflective Aaron Rodgers post game. He is savoring every moment, and he is making big plays. I like watching him play. In Chicago, that's blasphemy. But the more you see of Aaron Rodgers, the more you want to see, just because of how he – we appreciate greatness, and he has never been greater.
Do we appreciate him?
In Chicago, it's hard to, I think, if you're a Bears fan, because he's a constant reminder of what you don't have, and he's a constant reminder of what's in the way, and he's a constant reminder of all that you're not as a franchise and what you want to be. So it's difficult. I get it for Bears fans, but if you like football and you can get past that, that's a difficult thing to get past. How do you not appreciate a guy who does everything right and makes every right decision on the field and is as good as he has been?
That when he's talking about throwing that touchdown pass to Valdes-Scantling and he's, you know, picking apart the Bears, and he noticed that, you know, Robert Quinn went over and had a conversation. Yeah, and he's just like, oh, my God. He just matter-of-factly talking about, like, a heartbreaking play. Well, I knew that then that they were going to get a linebacker. I thought a backer could be. What the hell?
It's like laying in the operating room, Molly, and, like, hearing your surgeon, like, I'm going to make the incision here, and then I'm going to reach in, take my forceps, and now I'm going to separate here, and now I'm going to give you a shot. And this is what's going to happen. This is the way you're going to feel. And I am in total control of everything. And Aaron Rodgers, at this point in time in his career, 37 years old, he's in total control of everything.
Yeah, he's got the PhD in football, the Cal grad, and then you got the Michigan man coming in who I think he's got multiple degrees in football. I mean, it's just he's got not only the football degree but the winning degree. It's extraordinary to think about the careers of these two guys. And you're right. I think the difference is that great as Tom Brady has been, great as his career has been, Aaron Rodgers is still in the wheelhouse of his prime. He's still a great player. Maybe, I don't know, do you shave a few years off his age because he didn't get started right away? But, I mean, good God, it's absurd to have people, and especially athletes, you know, we witness this all the time, that there are players, as you get older, your mind becomes stronger. You think the game better. The game slows down is always the way that the expression is used. But your skills start to diminish because physically the aging process will take away from what you can do. So there's like this wheelhouse where your mind is right and your physical skills are right. And I think Rodgers is still in that wheelhouse. I think that Tom is more brain than pure ability, still can play the position. But my God, the man's 43 years old.
That's really good insight because, you know, you look at Aaron Rodgers and we do talk about him as a 37-year-old. It's almost like required to mention his age when you mention Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. But when you look at Rodgers, he didn't start until it was 2008 in his fourth season. So those first 3 years were not a physical toll on his body, but they were mentally beneficial, and he had all of that, all those resources and all that learning and all that experience that he put to use, and he's still doing that. So he is, I guess, if you can be a young 37, he looks at, in Tom Brady is getting by on obviously not his physical skills as much as his just mental capacity to read things before they happen. You saw that yesterday a couple times, Molly, again kind of underthrowing guys, and the arm strength isn't what it used to be, and still, you know, you wouldn't underestimate him under any circumstances. So they're going to come into Green Bay. I don't, you know, I'm kind of surprised they're here. I am, frankly, but I don't think now that they're there, they're going to be phased by the weather, by the moment, by anything. It's going to be a great matchup, but I just think the Packers are playing at too high of a level for anybody to beat them at this point.
That's the better game, right? Is that just us because we watch the Bears in the NFC? Is there some NFC thing with us, or is the other game the better game if everyone's at full strength?
You know, the other game potentially could be a better game because of the way the Bills are. You know, Brady, I think, because he's back, the team is new, but he isn't. So there's not as much novelty associated with the Bucs as maybe the Bills. The Bills and the Bills Mafia and Josh Allen, they got a 20, you know, third guy in his third season. They've got all the newness of that enthusiasm that creates, and then you've got the defending Super Bowl champions. I think that's going to be a pretty good game because the Chiefs have not been blowing anybody out They've been requiring, you know, it goes down to the final possession as it did yesterday, and the suspense surrounding Patrick Mahomes and whether or not he's going to be healthy and ready to go. So I think that's going to be a better game than the NFC game, which I think is going to be more one-sided. I think the AFC championship game is going to be pretty close.
And David, we'll be talking about this all week, let's be honest about it, but when you think of where the Bears are at, how do you get them to where they need to be? When you think about these teams and you look at what's happening, I mean, you know, what happened with Tampa is extraordinary because it was like an overnight rebuild. That they had a good defense, they had some good receivers, but Tom coming in brings a bunch of players with him, and it changes their fortunes. I don't know how long it lasts, but certainly we're seeing them sort of peaking a little bit, if you will. They're playing better now than they did earlier in the year. They're coming together as a unit. We'll see where that winds up. We know how good Rodgers has been for how long he's been good. And, you know, they go out and they get a backup quarterback in the draft. They don't get him another weapon as people thought they might, but it doesn't matter because he's just picking everybody apart. And their defense, they had kind of overhauled it a year ago. And now maybe in the second year, you're seeing them with a comfort level that has improved a little. How far away are the Bears? What do they do?
Well, you know what? I you don't want to be, you know, depressing here on a Monday morning, but I think what the Final Four just reinforces is this idea that unless you have a quarterback that projects or produces, you know, as a top 20 type player, and I guess I'll be generous there. You know, you could see and envision in Mitch Trubisky's first 4 years, there was always that hope that he was going to be a guy that would be at least middle of the road, and we always would say, well, with this defense, if you're a middle-of-the-road quarterback, if Mitch can just be average, the Bears can be a Super Bowl contender. That's no longer true. Number one, because of what he hasn't done on the field, but number two, because your defense has aged and has regressed. So now I think you're potentially heading into a must-win season for the general manager and head coach, slipping further away from contention than you were a year ago because you don't have any answers at quarterback. You don't know what that's going to look like. You don't have anybody that projects in the top 20. So I feel like the Bears are slipping further away instead of getting closer, which is the object of the game. But I don't think that this is there have been past years where we could look at the teams left and say, okay, this is the formula you want to copy. We can see if the Bears just do this or do that. I just think it's too massive of a project to even compare the Bears to these four teams because they're not close in my book.
So let's say, just for the sake of this conversation, that there's a certain quarterback available and they decide to give up whatever it takes and they bring in a quarterback that maybe they should have taken when they had the opportunity.
Yeah.
Does that get them to this point?
Absolutely.
It does.
I don't know if it gets them to the point where, in 2021, where they can say, okay, we're going to be there in the NFC Championship game, you know, at the next January. But it's a start. It creates hope. It creates excitement. And it creates a foundation that you now can rebuild upon. And when you have a quarterback that is, to overuse the term generational talent, but when you have a guy who's an MVP caliber player like Deshaun Watson is, and you have to exhaust every possibility before the answer appears to be no. So he's a game changer. He's a career changer. He's a guy that would be worth whatever you have to give up, even if it is accruing to the debt that you're keeping in your head about what it would take to fix the quarterback position. You keep adding it on. Like, okay, ching, ching, ching.
Yeah,
and you look at the bill and you're like, oh, God, did I pay that for dinner? Really?
But it was
a good meal. And if it was satisfying, it was worth every penny.
Well, you know, I've had some good meals that were spectacular, but and you know, an experience, but really not worth it ultimately, right? Because I'd have been just as happy with a sandwich. It might have worked out better, as a matter of fact. I'm not going to tell you. I think the Bears' problems start at the quarterback position, but I don't, and I'd be very curious to know if. If the quarterback is solved, does that make the receivers better? The running game seemingly improves because you got a passing game. How does the offensive line improve? Well, you got a guy that can move and can run around. I wonder if Matt Nagy views Deshaun Watson as a guy that you could run his scheme with, right? We know that you could do that with Mahomes, but it's all about the scheme. So I just wonder.
Oh, boy. I would hope not, Molly. I think there are certain players in the league that you look at, and maybe this is you're identifying the flaw in the system here, and what Matt Nagy's biggest, most tragic mistake of the last several years has been. You look at a player and you tailor your scheme around the talents that he has. In Deshaun Watson's case, the enormous talents that he has. You don't wonder if he can execute your scheme, because the minute that he becomes your player, your scheme does not matter as much as it did before he wasn't your player. Your scheme only trumps everything else when you have talented, when you have players who aren't meeting their potential, when you're trying to help them reach it, you know, schematically. But I don't think that's the issue with Deshaun Watson, and it never has been.
So you're trading draft picks, you bring in Deshaun Watson, you're losing your best offensive player, your wide receiver, Allen Robinson, because you can't afford him if you're bringing in Watson, because of the price you're paying, and, you know, you still have tons of money in on that defense. I guess Tariq Cohen's coming back, so therefore you got explosive plays.
But that's a huge if.
Yeah.
But if you want to play that hypothetical game, you're buying hope and you're buying yourself hope and time if you get Deshaun Watson, and you don't worry so much about not having Allen Robinson if that cost you Allen Robinson in 2021. You are essentially hitting reset, but you're doing it with a quarterback now that you can legitimately say is a franchise quarterback, something that you have never had. So I think that is the difference in that conversation.
I love it. I can talk about this stuff all day, and I'm sure we'll come back to that one. But we're going to bring in James Fegan next. We're going to talk to the White Sox writer from The Athletic. He's got a great story up on Liam Hendricks right now. Really good read. Can't wait to pick some stuff apart with James. We'll do that next. Molly and Hall on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I'm excited to be a part of this team, and obviously with Tony at the helm, it's an exciting time for Chicago sports, and hopefully we can put it all together on the field and have that good vibe. And starting in a month, we'll take it from there and then start this road tour ring. But there's the other thing I wanted to say. We've been going back and forth on the possibility of monikers. Obviously, with my nickname being Slider in Oakland, we figured it meshes well with going with South Slider, just with the South side. I think it works well. So we'll see how that goes. And hopefully, there's a players' weekend where I can throw it on the back of the jersey this year.
That's Liam Hendricks at the introductory Zoom conference, and we are delighted, Molly and Hall on The Score, to bring you James Fegan. He's brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. And James, of course, does great work with The Athletic, has a wonderful story up about the aforementioned Liam Hendricks. James, good morning. How are you?
Hey, James.
I'm good, and you?
You know, we're doing great, and anybody that is a Sox fan is feeling pretty good these days. They've got a lot going for them. They seem to have made some noise in the offseason of the good sort, and you look at that team, and I get it. You know, people are people are projecting things, and you never know until you play the games. But my goodness, this has been another offseason where you feel good about the White Sox heading into a year of contention.
Yeah, I mean, it's a situation right now where you look at their main competition, and the Twins have kind of, you know, not really done anything of consequence. I think they signed like one reliever, Hansel Robles, and you see Cleveland basically stripping down, and those are the two teams that were really giving them trouble or battling to the wire last year. I don't think the White Sox have, like, I don't know, completely transformed how good they are in some like major way. Like, Liam Hendricks is, you know, the best reliever in baseball, but I think the ingredients that make him good are more stable. But it's not like they struggled to close out games last year, and he's addressing some, you know, just burning need. And I would say more the way they've addressed their other, you know, primary holes going into the offseason of a number three starting pitcher and, you know, right field is more, I would say, more a solid job of addressing those holes. I mean, there's certainly questions about Adam Eaton bouncing back. It's just the fact that they've done what they needed to do as opposed to nothing, which is mostly what's going on in the rest of the American League, is why you can just look at them and feel a lot better about their preparedness for the idea that spring training starts in a month than pretty much every other team that they're going to be in competition with.
James, it was fun to hear Liam Hendricks on Friday talk about give himself a nickname, the South Slider, as well as refer to himself as an egotistical narcissist, which is interesting. He could not have been more engaging. And I wondered, he also talked about his connection to Tony La Russa, which relates to their interest in animal rescue and how they developed a relationship out in the Bay Area. Is Liam Hendricks here if Tony La Russa isn't?
I would think so. I view that more as like another thing that fit into place rather than, you know, it was absolutely necessary, or like, you know, if Rick Renteria was the manager, he wouldn't be interested. I think it's an organizational fit that has like a lot of elements going to it where I wouldn't even say necessarily one thing. You know, Liam Hendricks' relationship with like the, you know, the Codify service that, you know, Lucas Giolito uses, or the fact that Ethan Katz spoke to him and was very on board with all the things that he did. Because, you know, now, especially with his turnaround, you know, a couple of years ago, he has a pretty unique routine as far as what he does and how he gets ready and the amount of long talks he does. So the White Sox being okay with that, those are all factors that play in on top of the idea that he seems to like Tony La Russa and has that same appreciation for animal rescue. So I would say it's really, I feel like so many things came together that made him a good fit or want to come here that really played in. But the fact that Tony La Russa is helping, especially, you know, given that all the fears, you know, everybody had when he was hired, that, you know, this, and especially, you know, some people in the Sox organization thinking like, oh, this is outside the box and people are going to think this is extremely weird and this might make us hard to lock down guys like this. It's definitely encouraging.
James, one of the best things that I've read in the offseason is that Yoan Moncada is feeling better, right? Back to his old self. He obviously had COVID-19 before the season began, and he seems like, just listening to his description of it, it seemed like he was more of like one of these long haulers you read about where, you know, the fatigue, the weariness, it just interrupted what we thought was going to be a great year for him. Now, it didn't matter as much because the people around him had great years, but that is sort of a hidden improvement that the White Sox can make. I mean, this is a guy that can do everything and really looked like he was going to have a promising season before this.
Yeah, I mean, when he signed that extension in spring, or at least before it, you know, I was probably one of the top people saying, you know, this guy is the best player on the team, and you have 4 years left. What are you going to kind of do to maximize it? So they addressed that, and they lengthened that out. But, yeah, he was just kind of wound up being a complimentary piece in this organization, or just kind of a guy, you know, hitting around league average when your offense is really carried by everybody else. So, yeah, I think that's a huge possible move. If the last year's team has, you know, 2019 Moncada, they're a lot more dangerous against right-handed pitching. They're kind of undisputed the best offense in the league. He says he's better. I definitely the concern going into, you know, the offseason was that we really don't have the sort of precedent to know that, like, oh, in 2 months he'll be fine, 3-4 months he'll be fine. You know, there's not that kind of roadmap with COVID and long haulers, as you said. He's right now saying that everything is good, that he's not getting that fatigue during training, that he's not, you know, he kind of had to work out around it throughout the season as far as, like, getting himself ready, because he had to know that he didn't want to take too much out of himself before the game. So if he says he's doing better, that's obviously encouraging. It still has to be put to the test, and we have to see how it shakes out during training or how he's feeling, like, you know, in the dog days of August. But it's certainly encouraging that he says it's been kind of on an upward trek really since the start of the playoffs, and now it's, you know, really where he doesn't think about it anymore. I don't want to say, like, it's absolutely done and over until I actually see him, but, you know, at least positive words from him is encouraging.
Are the Sox done making big moves? And if they are, who is the designated hitter on this team?
I think there's not going to be, like, something else the caliber of Hendricks, but I don't think we have their opening day 26 man or anything like that. I think, you know, Han was very much counterbalancing the anticipation he built last time when he said that he would be okay with you know, going to camp with the roster they have. I don't think, as much as they've kind of designated, you know, this designated hitter for Andrew Vaughn long term, and especially for the bulk of the 2021 season, I think it's the same way they kind of marked out the spot, you know, for prospects in the past, where I wouldn't necessarily think that he's going to break camp and be the opening day guy unless there's some sort of extension or something like that worked out. And since I wouldn't anticipate that, and since Andrew Vaughn hasn't, you know, he played above high A technically as much as he faced major leaguers a lot last year, I would think you would see somebody else added to that mix to give them somebody to start the season with. Rather than just right now, if you look at their depth chart, you're thinking about Zach Collins or Yermín Mercedes being the DH, and that's someone they haven't really taken the leap with to giving them that big offensive role yet. So I would think they would add another name to that mix to kind of you know, give them some sort of at-bats, or especially give them somebody to face right-handers with a bit more than to just say that they're going to roll with the mix they have. If that's going to be a big magnitude addition, I can't really say. If it's just going to be somebody with some experience and maybe might get hot for a month, you know, that could be it too. But I don't think they're just going to roll with what they have purely.
That really underscores, though, just what a bad idea it was to stick with the designated hitter that was doing nothing a year ago. Couldn't you have started the tryout for that role, you know, a month earlier than you ended up doing? I get it. You know, you guys got a track record. You think he's going to at some point come around, but it seemed like things had slowed down quite a bit, and I thought that you should have come out knowing more about some of those candidates you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, they were in a bad spot, obviously. You're weighing, is this guy who's been, you know, Encarnacion, who's been good for 15 years, going to turn it around in the final month, or are we going to find out a rookie is going to catch fire in a final month? Neither of them seem great bets in that sort of environment, and they lean towards experience. But now you're in this situation where you kind of have you have no more answers. And I think that they definitely weighed calling up Vaughn, and I think that should factor into how they handle the DH situation. They got plenty of people in the organization who think Vaughn could handle himself right now and hit in the big leagues. And he certainly has had some spring training to suggest that. And that's why, you know, I know that they're very, you know, have a lot of gusto and they want to win the World Series this year, but that's why I still think it's less likely than more likely that they would get some sort of major DH who would block Vaughn for the entire season, just because they have that kind of expectation he's going to come in and really establish himself as a guy for, you know, 6-7 years going forward. But I definitely think they need to add something.
Do the Sox have the best bullpen in baseball?
I mean, the Yankees are pretty good. I'd say they definitely have a chance to do it. There's obviously so much variability in a bullpen, but if you're talking about midseason and everybody's healthy and you have Garrett Crochet who's up and he's contributing what he did last year, I could easily see it. There's definitely the firepower to do it. They've, you know, guys like Cody Hewer, guys like Matt Foster now, I'm sure they've had plenty of, and certainly Aaron Bummer, they had plenty of teams that wanted to pry them away who are, you know, close to the competition. And they held on to these guys, and now they really have something formidable that can stay together for several years, and it's a legit strength.
James, do the White Sox have the best Cuban pipeline in baseball?
I mean, yeah, I don't see how you can deny it. They've kind of oriented their entire international strategy around it. So you don't get a lot of instances of the White Sox, you know, signing a 16-year-old Dominican player and really kind of slowly, you know, bringing him through the system. You don't have them, like, producing their, you know, Juan Soto's or Ronald Acuna's a ton. But when they do go make international splashes, they target guys who are advanced, who can make impacts within, you know, the time frame of a normal draft pick in a couple of years. So as a result, that's really Cuban players. Those are the guys who have their own professional league, who can establish their, you know, track record in national tournaments. And, you know, they do a good job of kind of identifying them. So I think I don't think Yolky Cespedes has like some sort of like massively high ceiling, but he's a guy that they feel like they've seen on the international circuit enough to, you know, put up good at bats and kind of get his power into games. And he's a guy, if things break right, it should be 1 to 2 to 3 years. It shouldn't be this big kind of long haul that you think of a normal IFA prospect. Same thing with, you know, Gilbert Sanchez, who, you know, I don't think there's like a really a star ceiling there, but that's a guy who has good at bats and can play a middle infield position. They try to add major league depth when they go on the international market. That's not what everybody does, but they do it very proficiently, and they have a track record now where guys know they're going to be taken care of and they're going to be, you know, acclimated well when they come in the organization.
James, great stuff. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, James.
All right, thanks for having me.
That is James Feegan with The Athletic. Great stuff. He's got a great story up on Liam Hendricks. You can check it out right now. Let's get to our guy, Mark Grody. I'm getting fired up for baseball, Mark. I got to be honest with you.
I'm all for it. And I also think that you guys should start a new segment with James Feegan. James, are the White Sox the best? Fill in the blank.
Come on, Grody.
Are the White Sox the best franchise in baseball? James. Yeah. And James will just go through it.
Yes. Yeah,
check.
Scoreboard update.
Do they have the best food at Guaranteed Rate Field? Yes.
And James will take he'll take it all very serious. Well, I'm not really sure, but I think the Yankees might actually have a better burger. But
the Dodger dog is absolute garbage.
Yeah,
don't
I have
to
be honest with you. Right, it's a very dry dog.
It's got
long.
A name, but it's no thank you.
The Bulls beat the Mavericks 117-101. Lowry marketed 29 points and 10 rebounds. But really, the story of this game was the Bulls bench. 60-plus points off the Bulls bench in this game, led by one Garrett Temple, who had 21 points for the Bulls. In a win over the Mavericks, the Bulls host Houston tonight. The Blackhawks lost to Florida 5-2. Alex DeBrincat and Connor Murphy with goals for the Blackhawks. Colin Delia, 29 saves. The Blackhawks are at Florida tomorrow. NFL, Kansas City beats Cleveland 22-17. Patrick Mahomes, a touchdown run, a touchdown pass, and a concussion. Yeah, he missed the fourth quarter because of it. Chad Henne comes in, does a good job. Kansas City host Buffalo in the AFC title game on Sunday. Will Patrick Mahomes play? That will be the story this week. Tampa Bay over New Orleans, 30-20. Tom Brady, 18-33, 199. Three touchdowns at all, including a late touchdown run. That could be it for Drew Brees' career. He had a rough game yesterday, three interceptions. Tampa Bay at Green Bay Sunday in the NFC title game. Few other stories from the NFL, including the Chargers hiring Brandon Staley as their head coach, the former outside linebackers coach for the Chicago Bears. Also, the Lions expected to hire Dan Campbell away from the New Orleans Saints. Back to baseball, Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, and Wilson Contreras all get one-year deals done with the Cubs to avoid arbitration. College basketball, Northwestern lost, while Loyola gets a win over Northern Iowa, 88-46. The market is closed today for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The opening bell, presented by Chicagoland's newest Maserati dealer, has arrived in Glenview. Visit Maserati of Glenview today or online at MaseratiGlenview.com. I'm Mark Grody, and you are listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Danny Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Former Bear Kyle Long and the Bears' end-of-season press conference.
We have all gotten into a lifeboat together. It's clear that preparations weren't made. There aren't enough ropes or life rafts. Somebody needs to be to blame there. But to say, okay, well, let's just tread water for a little bit more and see if it gets better, I don't know if that's the right way to do it. But then again, I was a player, and I was such a bad player, they let me go.
Listen to Danny Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
They snap it. They're going for it. They flood it right. Caught. Tyreek Hill stays in bounds. The same play that they closed the game out against New Orleans. They do it to Cleveland. And Chad Henne out of the bullpen. Incredible job on a 3rd-and-14 scramble for 15. They called 13.5. Comes back on a roll to the right side, deking Cleveland into thinking they were going to run the clock, and they find Tyreek Hill on the right flat. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to advance in the AFC playoffs.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That highlight from 101 The Fox. And it was a highlight. I mean, I don't think anybody expected that. I'm still not sure that, you know, it's a good example for the Bears, who, you know, looked to Andy Reid for all things.
You know,
scary.
It was an amazing call at a critical time. And it actually wasn't even Henny's best play of that sequence. I mean, he scrambled on 3rd-and-14. He gets 13.5 yards. And so he is a guy, 35-year-old backup, pressed into action. Patrick Mahomes not in. And they come out in the shotgun, and it was such a surprise. How about Tony Romo said, oh, no, they're just going to try to draw him off sides. They're not even going to run a play. Look at the body language. Oh, my gosh, they're snapping the ball.
Tony Romo, what was the play where he started screaming they had clinched it and the guy was short? I mean, like
he said they almost got it.
That was funny.
Almost. It was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
But that was
bold. Is he still working from home?
No, I don't think he's there. Isn't he?
I don't know. He had to work from home at one point. I just was wondering because he that play was like, you know, manos de pietra, and I don't mean manos. It was some serious stones, unless Matt Nagy runs it. I don't want him doing that. I don't want a tight end around. I just,
Well,
and Tony Romo was in the booth. Absolutely.
Yes, Tony Romo in the booth. Yes. Wasn't it one of those plays, though, Mully? I mean, you can make it, and maybe Eric Bieniemy was also involved, and it should be pointed out that, you know, the conversation between Andy Reid and Bieniemy before that play, according to Peter King on his Monday Morning Quarterback, was that, you know, Reid says, okay, are you ready? You really want to do this? Because basically reminding him, that's not Patrick Mahomes out there. Are you ready to roll with this? And he said, absolutely. It's the kind of call you make when you have already won a Super Bowl, right?
Right.
It's the kind of call you can get away with and justify if you have that kind of accomplishment or credibility that comes with that kind of achievement. So if it's Matt Nagy, you're like, oh, really? I mean, too cute again? Now, you know, if you're Andy Reid, it's like, okay, boy, he's made a history and a career out of doing this kind of thing. So, you know, congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, let's just say somehow that ball is picked and returned. I mean,
then it's like,
we
what
wouldn't
are you
be
thinking?
Talking about his genius, would we?
No, and I don't know that I consider it genius to get out of a shotgun at 4th-and-inches and have your backup quarterback try to execute a play that worked. The play worked. So people will refer to it as genius and guile and gumption and all these things, but is it really conventional? No, it's unconventional. Maybe that's why it's brilliant. I don't know, but I just yeah, you sort of like, is that a great example to be setting for all the people and all the coaches on that vast Andy Reid tree? It's growing branches by the season, Mully. I mean, it's getting out of control.
We are broadcasting through the Score Hyundai Studios, which is presented by your local Hyundai dealers. And I enjoy talking about kind of fun, different plays, especially when it's not something that I feel like is going to cost you the game. And it does feel like when, you know, when you talk about the clones and the clone of the clone and that clone, and you're just watering down things a little bit, it doesn't work as well. I mean, the originator might be better off running that stuff than anybody that sprang from that tree, to use your image.
Well, yeah, he would. And Chad Henne, you know, 35-year-old backup, exactly. He was throwing to Tyreek Hill, who has a knack for getting open. I don't know if you, you know, it is, you know, a weapon. It's one of these other guys that, you know, these. Henne was 6 out of 8, I think, in his relief duty because, yeah, he adapted quickly, but you adapt much quicker when you have Kelce and Hill and these kind of weapons that you can throw to, and that makes every backup quarterback look more polished and every play caller look more intelligent. So that's a big thing that we don't have here in Chicago when you talk about why these kind of plays wouldn't work here.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I look at that, and I think to myself, you know, great performance coming in a tough situation by the quarterback. Great job of having the talent around you to take advantage of it and to kind of run what is called. Totally different deal if he is starting the game because Patrick Mahomes has a concussion and is unable to go in the championship game. It's just different. It's great that you can come in and you can be successful and you've got enough of a lead that you can win that game. But I don't know if he's the starter that we're sitting here talking about everything that was so glorious about the play calling. If you lose Patrick Mahomes next week, and let's be honest about it, he looked like he didn't know what week he was in. Now, I agree with what Ross Tucker said. It didn't seem like there was this kind of one moment. I mean, it didn't seem like a knockout blow. But when he attempted to get up and his legs were kind of rubbery, that was scary. I mean, he really was. You see a guy get hit like that, you worry for him.
Until he staggered like that, I was under the impression it was a neck injury. It looked like his neck was twisted in a way that you worried about. And so when he got up and sort of was unable to kind of walk, you thought, oh boy, he got his bell rung. And you wondered how he landed. You wondered if there was helmet-to-helmet contact. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that, you know, are difficult to see from a television screen. But he clearly was affected, and he didn't return because he couldn't pass the protocol. You know, it's going to be day to day with him.
Right.
It's unlikely that he's going to be miss this game. I can't really envision a scenario. It'd be difficult to see. They're going to push him, and he's going to want to play, and all these things are going to be in play. The pressure that exists. You hope he's healthy enough. You hope he doesn't put himself in danger. But I can't see him missing this.
It's going to be fascinating to see what the independent neurologist says, because that guy is completely independent and will say whatever he wants to because he's the neurologist. Damn it. Yeah, I believe that.
The independent neurologist whose offices are in Overland Park, Kansas? or Overland Park?
Have another client if he doesn't do the right thing by the fine folks in Kansas City. No pressure there. All right, we're being way too cynical. We need a breath of fresh air. We're going to bring in Layla and Dan next, and they will talk us off the ledge with this stuff because there's no cynicism there at all. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.